Dr. Tony Evans, in a book entitled The Victorious Christian Life, tells a story that just rips my heart out. Here it is. A little boy who wanted to go fishing one morning stumbled onto a whole bunch of small red worms. So he scooped up the entire squirming pile of them and headed for the pond. As he was baiting his hook with the first worm, it kind of nipped at his finger and actually bit him. Ouch! Well, that had never happened to him, and it really kind of stung. But he popped the worm in the water and in a few moments later caught a fish. When he picked up the second worm, it bit him too. But he shrugged it off and stuck it on the hook and tossed his line out again. Boom! Another fish! And four or five times in a row, every worm took a little bite out of his finger. But he figured that was the price he had to pay for all those gorgeous fish he was catching. Sooner than he expected, he had a full load and began to hike back into town. A minute later, a nice man came along and offered him a ride in his pickup truck. How'd it go today? He wanted to know. Great, the kid said. I've been using these new red worms I found. He still had one or two left, and he showed them to the driver. They kind of bite you at first, but you get used to it. The man took one long look at those little red worms and then suddenly pushed the gas pedal down to the floor and began roaring down the road at 70 miles an hour, heading for the nearest hospital. But by the time he got there, the little boy was dead. Those little red worms were all baby rattlesnakes. Well, after telling a story like that, there had better be a point, wouldn't you agree? And there certainly is. A leading televangelist went on the air a few years ago to talk about one of the Bible's most common words. That word, just five letters long, was F-A-I-T-H, faith. Here are some of the things that that preacher had to say about faith. Faith is a power force. It is a tangible force. It is a conductive force. There was more. He added that just as the force of gravity makes the law of gravity work, it is this force of faith which makes the laws of the spirit world function. We're not done yet. Here's some more. This force originates from God out of His unlimited heart. The world was born out of the force of faith that was resident inside the being of God. Now here's the clincher. God cannot do anything for you apart or separate from faith, because faith is God's source of power. All of this comes from the author's own book, which is entitled The Force of Faith. Now, these next few important devotionals about faith began as a 2-week Bible study on our daily radio broadcast several years ago, and we especially wanted to focus on this very popular suggestion, which you most often hear on the airwaves and TV and Christian radio, that faith is a kind of force or power, that it's a thing or a battery pack you can put into a box and carry around with you and use in order to have your own way in this world. Hence our title, A Suitcase Full of Faith. Now, what does this have to do with our rattlesnake story? I want to tell you something very earnestly. The ideas about faith being broadcast across North America by this TV preacher and many others are not coming from the Bible. Not only are they wrong, they're dangerously wrong. They can be fatally wrong. And this one source that I quoted is just one of many. Perhaps you've read a powerful, well-researched, Bible-based book entitled Christianity in Crisis by Pastor Hank Honegraaff, which documents what is popularly called the faith movement. I can list for you some of the names of the major players in this movement, but I'm not going to do that because it's the Bible truth that we want to honestly and earnestly search for in this book. You'd recognize their names. But first, I want to talk a little bit more about rattlesnakes. You see, F-A-I-T-H, faith, is a good word. It's a biblical word. It's a powerful part of the Christian message. Faith is a good thing. Jesus talked about it. His apostles talked about it. All through the Word of God, men inspired by the Holy Spirit wrote about it and encouraged us to have it. But this doesn't mean that when a preacher talks about faith, he's speaking the Bible truth. A leader might speak about Jesus 52 weeks a year and have a very spiritual vocabulary and be spreading nothing but poison and heresy. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, shared a warning and described people coming in and preaching a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, he says. Some 30 plus years ago, a young man named David Koresh preached Jesus with more flamboyance than I ever could. And we all know what happened to his Waco congregation. And right now I want to very openly put myself on trial as well. I'm sure you can't miss the irony of the fact that I've been a radio preacher too. Here's Lonnie Milashenko, who's been on the radio talking about other ministers and what they say on the radio and on the television. It's also simple for preacher number one to turn on his microphone and tell you that preacher number two and preachers number 3 to 45 are presenting a false message. So I want to say right now about what my friend and colleague George Vandeman used to say. He opened up God's Word for 36 years on the It Is Written television program, and he always said this: folks, keep your eyes wide open and your Bible close by. He was telling his viewers to check out what he said by this book. He very humbly put himself to the test. He was glad to be on trial himself. You see, I could talk about faith and be just as wrong as the televangelist I just mentioned. Worms can be rattlesnakes no matter where you go fishing. Test everything. Hold up every doctrine you hear to the light of Bible truth. Trust no one except Jesus. Above all, do not blindly trust a man named Milashenko or some radio TV televangelists. Check everything for yourself. I received a beautiful letter from a young woman named Laura. Here's just part of what she said. I study the Bible often, and I know it very well. So when I listen to any preaching, I make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Everything you teach on your videos is always lined up with God's Word, and I think that's great. But you know, there was more. For the next 3 paragraphs, she continued on and asked a couple of very hard questions. Something I had said on one program had puzzled her, and she took the time to write to me and say, "Listen, what about this? What do you have to say about this?" She put me to the test and very kindly demanded that I defend my position from the Bible. I've always tried to answer those questions. But this young lady has precisely the spirit of earnest study that we need here in these last days of deception and spiritual turmoil. I can't commend Laura highly enough. But now let's get back to our topic. Faith is a force. That's the suggestion being made from those in the faith movement. Faith is its own power. It's a tangible, keep it in your pocket kind of thing. In fact, another of the popular primers in this movement is entitled Having Faith in Your Faith. And people move very quickly from this attitude to a philosophy of name it and claim it, or as some have colorfully described it, blab it and grab it. If you have enough faith, some suggest, then God has to do whatever you tell him to. The Holy Spirit is your personal servant, your heavenly valet, waiting to obey your instructions. If you have your faith battery packs all charged up, if you have enough faith in faith. For nearly 100 years now, my former radio broadcast ministry, the Voice of Prophecy Sunday broadcast, which I'm sure many of you have heard, ended with a poem. The original founder, HMS Richards, started clear back in 1929. He ended every Sunday program with a new verse, but always with the same last line, "Have faith, dear friend, in God." Have faith in God. The Bible teaches all about faith. Here in my next short series of devotions, we want to substantiate and lift up those teachings about faith. But faith in what? What's the object of our faith? We wouldn't dream of starting a series like this without opening up our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, if you have a Bible nearby, please put a marker in there and keep it there the whole way. Here it is in the King James Version. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's a bit mystic, isn't it? But here's one word to those in the faith movement that they grab onto very quickly. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see, they exclaimed, it's a substance. It's a thing. You can get hold of it. And a quick reading, a first reading, would make you think that. Let's try the same verse in the New International Version. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Here's the New English Bible. "And what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes and makes us certain of realities we do not see." Just one more, the Revised Standard Version. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." I took Greek in college and university, but I very rarely quote Greek meanings in my sermons. But let me quickly do so right here. The word hypostatos, translated substance in the King James Version, generally means an assured impression, a mental realizing. Other renditions include assurance or being sure. Hank Honegroff, who's obviously had to do a very detailed study in order to write his book, makes this beautiful and accurate biblical suggestion, and I'm quoting, "Far from being a tangible material, faith is a channel of living trust and assurance which stretches from man to God." As we close today's study, I'm going to go back to the way we always wrapped up our Sunday broadcasts. And so, friend, we say, have faith in God. Let hopes be built on Him. Have faith in God, all other sources dim. Have faith in God when facing errors grim. Have faith, dear friend, in God.